Thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yeah, and each and every day we just need to keep reminding God and asking God for grace, for his strength, because it takes not human effort. It's really the work of God in us to be available, the work of God in us to be faithful, the work of God in us to just desire him, because it's only God that enables us to look for him, to enable him. You know, when he speaks, when Paul was preaching, you know, and he say that, you know, in him we live and move and have our own being, that from the beginning of time God, you know, placed every man in every place, in every time, that in a way that men might seek after God and feel after him and perhaps find him, though he is not far away from them. You know, it's about speaking about the need to look for God and find God, yet God is not far away from us. And for sure, there is something about feeling after God, and that feeling can only come from him. It's more of like, you know, like when lovers are calling for one another, there is a passion that drives them, and that's a feeling after. And when we feel after God, then there is, that feeling can only be given by him, but also it enables us to seek him and to find him. And yet God says he's not far away from us. So that means that we, if we continue doing the things, remember yesterday we spoke about making all diligence, you know, making all diligence to do the right thing, to add to your faith, you know, to add knowledge, to add virtue, to add goodness, to add self-control, to add brotherly kindness, to add love, you know, to add perseverance. All these things, the Bible says, if we increase, if these things are yours and you abound, and they abound in you, you shall be profitable for every good work. So there is a profit in the things of God, that you will not be barren or unfruitful in your walk with God. And then, of course, there is now the command to make your election and calling secure, you know, to make it sure, because at times we feel like, you know, ah, this thing is there, you know, but there is our part to play. Yes, there is what God has done, but there is also our part to play. We have a responsibility, and this is why the believers kept being encouraged by the apostles to continue in the things that they were taught, you know, into aspects of Christ formation in a person. When Paul says that, my dear children, for whom I labor again in child pangs, you know, in the pangs of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. That means there is a responsibility that God gives his children, that, you know, everyone, for Christ to be formed, but also for the leaders to continue speaking life to the saints, that they shall be in Christ and they shall grow in Christ. And, you know, we started looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, and you can see, you remember the verses say, verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted and even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That means there is, when we forget what God has done for us, then we become short-sighted. You know, we become almost blind, and God does not want us to be blind. So let's pick it up from where we left it yesterday, and then we'll look at it from verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And then, anyway, maybe just let's look at what stands out there. You know, when Peter was towards his end, he already had an understanding that his time was up. In fact, he says that Jesus had already shown him that his departure was near, that he was going to die. And then he says, now, because I know these things are important, I know ravenous wolves are going to come after we leave, I know false teachers are going to come, I will make every effort to not be negligent, to remind you of these things, to remind you, you know, the things that he was talking about earlier, about the things that they need to add to their faith. You know, the character aspects that needed to be added to the faith. And he says that because I know that even though you are established in this present truth, what is present truth? Present truth is what they are teaching the believers, the understanding of the righteousness that is by faith, you know, the righteousness that comes by faith, being saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it is the gift of God. Peter was one who had transformed, you know, his culture, because Christianity came and transformed his culture. And now there are things that he struggled with as a Jew. But then when he moved into Christ, then he started to eat with the Gentiles, you know. And so there is a transformation that had taken place. And for this, that's why he says he calls it present truth. And we must always know what is the present truth. And someone put it this way, that there is the finished works of Christ, which Christ has done, but then there is also the present works of the Holy Spirit, the day-to-day leading of the Holy Spirit, the day-to-day obedience of our walk with the Holy Spirit. And if we continue in not only reflecting on what Christ has done, the finished works of Christ, but also hearing the Holy Spirit day by day to guide us into the present truth, into the things that are for today, that are led by the Holy Spirit, then we shall bear fruit. You know, this aspect of believers not bearing fruit, being delayed, you know, trusting God for answers, nothing is coming through. It's only an aspect of obedience. Your obedience will give you everything that you need for life and godliness. God has put the laws in motion that if we obey him, if we follow after him, if we seek his face, then all these other things that men seek for will be added unto us. So you can see he's telling them that he knows that his time is going to come. Look at how he uses the words, I know that I must put off my tent. And this reminds us of that, I mean, what we've been learning about the inner man and the outer man. And when we understand that we must outwardly, that we are fading away, but inwardly there is a renewal of the inner man. The real you is inside you. What we see is just the outer shell. But the real man is in you, and this is the person that shall transition beyond this life and enter either into judgment that goes to hell or into the reward of the Lord. So let's look at verse 16, and he's telling them the reason for his confidence. He says, for we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven, and when we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19, and it says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, or as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. So Peter knows his time is going. He says he will make every effort to remind them, and that's why he's writing the letters. And then he tells them, look here, when we came to Christ, we did not just follow cunningly devised fables. We did not just follow good stories, you know, that are given to children that have a moral ending, you know, the stories that are just to tell people to entertain. No, he says that when we came to you, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know, they always say that the strongest witness in a court of law is an eyewitness. Of course, there might be an expert witness, maybe who is a specialist, maybe in guns, who will be asked, so what are the probability from your experience? Will this be possible? Yes, those ones can answer. But the strongest witness in a court of law is an eyewitness. So when Peter says that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty on the day when they went to the mountain and Jesus took James, Peter, and John with him to pray with him. And the Bible says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his face started to shine and he became as white as, you know, as light or as white as snow. And then the two men appeared, and, you know, Elijah and Moses appeared and they were speaking with Jesus, representing the law and the prophets, and they were speaking to Jesus. And they discussed with him the things concerning the things he was going to suffer. So when Peter says it was not a dream, we were there, the three of us were there. And we were eyewitnesses. That means we can give you a complete account that we were there. And then he says that, and we heard the voice. That means the witness, the witness of God, that this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And they were told, hear him. You see, when a Jew will tell you that this is the Son of God, when a Jew will tell you that, when someone says that I am the Son of God, and this is why the Jews will take up stones and want to stone Jesus. Why? Because they said, because you, a mere man, you claim to be God's Son, you know, and therefore you make yourself equal with God. So when Peter is saying that they heard from the voice, the voice from the majestic, saying, this is my beloved Son, it was a confirmation that Jesus was God's Son and as well equal to God. So it wasn't just saying, okay, this is my Son. No, it also meant that Jesus is God. And this is why the Jews were always never happy with Jesus whenever he said he was the Son of God, because that was the direct implication. So Peter and his companions had that understanding. But of course, Peter, if you remember, he just quickly was like, oh, why don't we make three houses, three tents, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you, Jesus. And immediately they disappeared, and Jesus told them not to tell anyone until after he was glorified. So we can see that Peter is eyewitness. He says, I am an eyewitness. We are eyewitnesses of his glory. We did not just follow stories or cunningly defined fables. And this is actually what makes the gospel powerful. The gospel is powerful because we are reading eyewitness accounts of people who actually walked with Jesus when he was on the earth. And remember when Paul was writing, he says that, you know, that he appeared to 500 other people, of whom many are still alive, although others have fallen asleep, but those that are alive are around. You can go and confirm with them. So you can see there is that continuity chain of, you know, of evidence that points us to the reality that Jesus Christ walks on the earth. And even there is also evidence that is outside of Scripture, outside of the Bible. You know, there is a historian who wrote about Jesus. That is to confirm that the historical Jesus exists in literature, and he's a confirmation that he actually walked. Someone who was not a believer spoke about it. I think it was called Eusebius. He spoke about the Jesus, certain Jesus of Nazareth, who was a miracle worker. So what we are reading and what we are following after are not just cunningly devised fables, but this is the reality of the truth, and they are eyewitnesses of this. And so we see when they say, and when you had this voice that came from heaven, remember the Israelites, when Moses was bringing to them the law, and God came on the mountain, and there was that cloud, you know, and there was the fire, there was the earthquake, and no one was told to go near the mountain. If anything or anyone touches the mountain, is to be killed. And you can see, remember, the voice was so loud, and the people feared, greatly feared, and they told Moses, no, you talk to God, and whatever God tells you to do, then you come and tell us, and we will do it. So they were afraid, but you can see again, they are now on another mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration, and the voice comes again, but this voice comes to assure them and to let them know that they are in the right direction. And as you can say, and then he says, and beyond that also, apart from us being eyewitnesses, you have our evidence of that. Number two also, we have the sure prophetic word. That means the scriptures. There is something that is sure. In fact, the foundation of our confirmation of hearing from God, the foundation of our doctrine, the foundation of our faith must always and should always be the word of God. The Bible calls it a sure prophetic word. And the Bible describes it as a light in a dark place. And you will do well to heed to it. You will do well to obey. It can be in a dark place, but scriptures will always bring illumination to your circumstances. The word of God is very, very clear. You know, a lady, you can be aiming to, you know, to meet someone, and you think the person is your spouse, and then God just gives the word that this one I have rejected. You know, man looks at the outward things, but God sees the heart. So at the end of the day, and that word will come so strong in your spirit that you cannot deny it. That is a sure prophetic word. That is the word of God that cannot be corrupted. You know, men will want to corrupt the things of God, but you see, when we settle on the word of God, then you know the truth, and the truth makes you free. Right now, because you have continually had the word of God, when someone preaches something that is off, immediately you can sense there is a mistake there. You can have a contention in your inner man that, no, there is a miss there. You might not be able to point it. You might not have the right words or the right argument. You might want to search further. But because of the word of Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you, he is able to bear witness with the Spirit of God, with your spirit over things. So the eyewitnesses are important. The sure prophetic word is important. But also remember, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is important. And look at now what he says, that this word of God is a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That means Christ. Christ is always referred to as the morning star. It rises in your hearts, and then it says, knowing first this, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. That means whatever we interpret of scripture cannot be just unique to you. Scriptures mean what they intended to mean to the original audience. You must always ask yourself, who was being spoken to when this scripture was written or was said, and how did they understand it? So you derive meaning from it. So there is one meaning to scripture. That means it cannot be of private interpretation, but there may be many applications. So you can apply the meaning that is common to scriptures in one. You can apply it in many aspects. You can apply it to your family, to your workplace, not to relationships, but the meaning stays the same. So that is very important, because prophecy of scripture is not of any private interpretation, but because prophecy did not come from the will of man. So anything that is written, anything that we read in the scriptures, it did not come from the will of man, but men of God spoke as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. There is a dimension of being carried by the Holy Spirit. You know, when you think about it, in the olden times, the prophets were carried by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit will come upon someone, the person will prophesy, the person will fight. You know, Samson will be strong. Now think about it now. We that have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is in us. Why are we not moved by the Holy Spirit? Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he fasted. He was driven. The Bible says he was driven. That means it was something that was even beyond his will, but he was driven to prepare. The Holy Spirit is available, and he is there to carry us. There's a dimension of being carried by the Spirit, where you find that even in prayer, you are aided to pray. Even in waking up, you know, you are aided by the Holy Spirit. You just need to simply say, Holy Spirit, help me to wake up. You'll always find that he wakes you up in perfect time. Why? Because he is your companion. He is your friend. And as men of the old times were carried by the Holy Spirit, you too and I, in our work, in our families, in our relationships, in our walk with God, we have the ability to be carried and to be moved by the Holy Spirit. I pray that God will help us to be moved by him, to be carried by him, and to walk in truth. At this point, I'll stop here, and I pray that God gives us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome. God leads you here.
Thank you, Dr. Marvin. I mean, I don't have much art here. What is very clear. But I mean, you clearly said it. The eyewitnesses, the witness within, but also the word of prophecy. I think as long as we seek for or diligently, we open our hearts to the truth, which is the word. And if, as long as we believe that the word is alive today, the word was not frozen in time, but it's alive, it speaks to every situation, then they are the witnesses. And the word disappears in my head. The evidence that Christ is, God is alive, is there in the words. Because when you read the word and it speaks to your situation,
yeah,
you realize that God lives and the word lives, so it's there. But also the word of prophecy, it may come through vision, it may come through your dreams, but also it may come through someone else. The man of God who lead us, if indeed you want a certain leadership, a certain mantle, and there's prophecy through that leadership, and comes to pass, it's also evidence that God lives. So yes, I think we just need to seek, because if you don't seek diligently and you don't open up to know God, you will never witness that his presence. You will never witness his availability. And I think that's when the non-believers start wondering whether there's a God or not, because even the mere fact of feeling his presence, or feeling, his ability to change things in their lives. They cannot, because they don't have that spiritual maturity. Even if God, because God is a kind God, and continues doing great things in everyone's life. But then that takes a mile of you as an individual opening up to recognize and to realize that whatever, some things that happen are beyond your own abilities.
Yeah.
And they're beyond your own creation or making. There is a supernatural force that is working, and that is God.
Yes.
So yeah, I think we can also still continue being witnesses of God's work, God's greatness, as long as we seek for him diligently and we open up to seeing the goodness in God. I think that's what I can say.
Amen. Yes, we need to make every effort, diligence. Yes. Yeah, and I think this is the part that we miss at times. If you don't do your diligence, you miss out on realities that are available. There are things that are just for you.
Yeah.
God says he's not hiding them from us. He's hiding it for us, for the seekers. Those that seek him, find him. You know, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that calls us to seek you in a deeper way. That yes, we have the word of witnesses, eyewitnesses. We have the word, the sure prophetic word. We have the inward witness of the Spirit of God within us. I pray that you may guide us, that we may stay connected to truth. We may stay connected in love. We may continue to be vessels that are seeking and to finding you and being available where we need to be, O God. I thank you for our families. Watch over them. Remember them, O God. Thank you for our workplaces. Everything that we do, may your glory be in our lives. May you be glorified in all these things. We commit ourselves before you. Guide our steps. May we not fall to the deceptions of the devil. May we not fall by the wayside, but may we experience life and grace and truth in you. Commit this day into your able hands. Go ahead of us and strengthen us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day ahead.